I was wrong. And they're going to get angry. I can't believe it. Why didn't I get it? And you imagine somebody yanking their hair out for eternity. It was me. I hate me. Because only you have you to blame. Because he did everything he could. That's the Bible. Lamenting. Gnashing of teeth. Absented eternally from any hope of eternal relief. And that's what we call hell. The Bible says he's been given a more excellent name than the angels, because he's no angel. The Bible goes on to say in verse 5, it says, "For unto which of the angels did he say at any time?" A number of things here. Three things are really listed. He says, "You are my son. I will be to him a father." That's the second. He says, "And again, I will be to him a father." And then thirdly, in verse 6, when he bringeth the firstborn into the world, he said, "Let all the angels of God worship him." Now we know no one gets worship but God. No one gets worship but God. He says, "He's my son." He says, "I will be to him a father. Let all the angels worship him." Who is this Jesus? How excellent is he? Well, he's the one who was appointed heir of all things. And if you know him, you get to be a joint heir. How cool is that? So that's important for us. He's the one who's been arranged. It's been arranged so that he might obtain a name that's more excellent than any angel. A name that when you hear it, it ought to resonate in your core. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Jesus is the way out. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the darling of my soul. You know, there's no other way to know you're going to heaven. None. You can't be a good person and let your good deeds outweigh your bad. Can't happen. Because your bad deeds defile the good. I don't care if you have a glass of water that is ice cold and it's super, super hot and you're carrying shingles up on top of a roof all day in the sun. I don't care how hot you are. If you've got a big glass of water and somebody takes a drop full of sewage in that, there's more water than sewage. You aren't drinking that. And that's what it's like with your good deeds and your bad deeds. Your good deeds are corrupted and defiled and disqualified because of sin. You need someone to purge your sin. That's biblical. You've got a problem. You tried to do good. By the way, sin means to miss the mark. You must have been aiming at something, right? You might have been trying to be good, but you keep missing. Just admit to God you need a Savior. That you've messed up. And after you've missed enough, you know what you do? You give up. So you stop trying to hit the mark at all, and you enter into transgressions. You start doing stuff on purpose. And eventually you go to iniquity, which has the idea of starting to rationalize. Well, it's okay, everybody's doing it. There's nothing I could do. It's the way I am. There's no way to fix it. The Bible says he purged our sins. He's been given a more excellent name. And he, in fact, receives worship from the angels. You want to categorize him as being one of. The angels worship him. The Bible says, "Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, seen of the angels, justified in the Spirit, and received up into glory." He is God of very gods. The Bible says in verse 6, when he bringeth the firstborn in, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." In verse 7, it says, "Who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." What does he do? He says, Jesus is not a minister and a flame of fire. Jesus is the one who receives adoration and worship from those angels. Do you know what's cool about that? When you think of an angel, what do you think of? You think of little cute, little cherubic looking Renaissance babies, you know, fat cheeks and bellies and little wings on their back, you know, and they look something like out of a mythology thing, you know. That's not what the angels are. Every time an angel shows up in the Bible, the first thing I got to say is, don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'm here to show you something. I'm here to be your blessing. And they're like, whoa! You know, and they're freaking out and they want to just faint away. And sometimes they indeed do. And they have to be touched by the angel and raised up on their feet to be told the message God has for them. Those are angels. But Jesus, he's got a more excellent position than they do. They can't even touch that. Jesus is the throne sitter. He's the one that they were amazed at in the manger when they leaned in the manger and saw him manifested as a human baby right there at Christmas, in the Christmas narratives we have. And there before they had to cover their faces with two wings and fly with two wings and couldn't stand in his presence. They had to cover their feet with two wings and they cried day and night, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, the whole earth is filled with his glory." This is his glory. You are the crescendo of His glory. Because when He made man, He said, let us make man in our image. You have a mind. You have a subconscious mind. And your subconscious mind is all that you know. And everything that's ever happened to you, you have a conscious mind. You can't draw down on everything you've ever experienced, but it's in there. And you have a conscious mind. And you have a mouth to tell me what you're thinking. And boy, I got some teens that really want to tell me what they're thinking all the time. I have to say, stop telling me what you're thinking. Because they just want to keep telling me what they're thinking. But you know what? That's how God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's a triune reality of God. And the Bible reveals Jesus as being the second person of that Trinity. And the Bible says in verse 8, but unto the Son saith He, thy throne, O God, is forever. You might underline those words. He says to the Son, your throne, O God, because He's God. Don't cast off your hope. Don't cast off your confidence. We are aligned with the One who is heir of all things. We are aligned with the One who has a more excellent name. We are aligned with the One who upholds all things by the word of His power. And He can take care of you. He can save to the uttermost. And He can keep you safe for eternity. That's who He is. And He's excellent. And when you want to quit, when you want to lay down, and you want to give up, and you want to walk away, I just want to admonish you, I want to encourage you, I want to remind us, you probably just don't know enough about Him. If it kind of creeps into the back of your mind that this isn't working, dig in and read some more. Ask the questions, get the answers, because the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's why we dwell so much upon the Word. We want to go verse by verse, because I could get one verse out of here and I could say, well, we could talk all day about, you know, He sat down on the right hand. I could give you all these illustrations, but what you need to see is verse upon verse upon verse upon verse and principle upon principle and truth upon truth, because it's God speaking and not the pastor. It's got to be about God. It's got to be about His Word. And He says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Love it. Because that's mine. Because you can't take mine away. It's God's Word. The Bible says in verse 8, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Scepter is the idea of a rod. It's the idea of a staff. It's when it's in a king's hand, it represents power. And the idea of a scepter of righteousness is a scepter of that which is vindicative. In other words, His scepter is one that will punish evil. His is not a scepter that will overlook evil. He will by no means clear the guilty. The guilty must pay. And that would be all of us. We must pay. Or have it paid for us. And it was paid for us. Jesus bore our sins in His body on the tree, the Bible says. He who knew no sin became sin for us. God judged it. And then it was done. Jesus cried out on the cross, it is finished. Paid in full is what the word means, tetelestai in the Greek. Paid in full. The gift of God is now eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. That's who we serve. He's excellent. He's awesome God. The Bible says in verse 8 or verse 9, it says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. He says, it's an address to God, that His God. Because you see what Jesus did when He divested Himself of the insignia of all of His glory and He became a servant. He showed you and me what it looks like to be a man, a perfect, a good, a true man. And what was that? That was to live in complete and total fellowship with the Father. The Bible says, this is life eternal, that they may know you. And that means intimate knowledge of you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's life. Life is not just about not going to hell and not having to die for your sins. Life means I get a relationship with the God who created it. I get a relationship with the God who sustains it. I get a relationship with the God who, in fact, sees and knows me. El Roy, I get a relationship with the One who is intricately involved in my day-to-day, who is my Father, our Father, which art in heaven. He's my Father. He cares about me. He cares about my needs. He considers the sparrow, and He considers me. And He cares about every single one of your concerns and your cares. So when you feel like giving up, don't forget who it is that you're giving up on. It's the One that will never give up on you. Isn't that good? The Bible says in verse 9, it says, He is anointed because you were loving righteousness and hating iniquity. God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. I love that. There's that word again. You might underline those anytime you see those in the Bible. The oil of gladness. You know what that means? That answers to the Old Testament where it talks about how we're going to have everlasting joy will be upon our heads. We're going to have bliss. The Bible says at the right hand of God are pleasures forevermore. In His presence is fullness of joy. The oil of gladness, bliss is ours. And He owned that bliss and owns it to the full. He has been anointed with the oil of gladness. So we've seen God has appointed him. We've seen God has arranged things so that he would get that name in time, in the fullness of times. God would make it such that the angels would be eclipsed by his glory. And here we see him being anointed. And when he walked on this earth, he says, I don't do anything by my own promptings or my own devices. I see what the Father's doing and I join him. He actually leaned upon day to day the Holy Spirit's direction. The Holy Spirit. He lived in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible says for you and me, we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the anointing of God is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And what he says is he's anointed him with the oil of gladness. How is it that Jesus took the cross? How is it that Jesus was sustained? How is it that Jesus, because he saw the God working in the machinery of his day-to-day life, he saw it. He didn't question it. He saw it and he joined God in whatever God was doing. For you and me, one of the reasons why we want to give up and give in and lay down and not be in church and not do what we ought to do is because we don't know enough about who he is and we don't fear him. We don't think, oh, well, you know, he's going to be a little disappointed in me if I don't do what I ought to do. And we don't care how it impacts others. He sees our foolishness. We need to make time for God because there's coming a time when the press comes and tyranny will end with a gun. And if we don't prime our children now, and if we don't prime ourselves now, when it comes down to it, we're going to say, I'll deny him. We're told when the Apostle Peter's wife was being carried away to be executed, he ran behind the chariot that was carrying her away to be killed. And the thing he ran behind that chariot crying out was, remember the Lord, honey. Remember the Lord. That's what we need to be telling our kids. Because folks, listen, the delusion is great down here. And the Bible says it's going to get worse. The Bible says in the end, God's going to send even a stronger delusion that they might believe a lie. It's on us to make it right, make it real now. We need to show them that it's a place of joy. You want to know how to get the anointing? The joy of gladness, the fullness. He says, love righteousness and hate iniquity. That's what Jesus did. It worked for him. Guess what? It'll work for you. The more you love righteousness and hate iniquity, the more you're going to begin to realize it's all about God. It's all about getting to the finish line. It's all about just loving Him down here now. Because He will not leave you comfortless. He will not leave you comfortless. He promised, I will go and I'm going to send forth the Holy Spirit. When He comes, He will comfort you. He will be your advocate. He will be your comforter and your encourager. I'm out of time at this point. I would like for you to do me a favor. Would you please bow with me for a moment? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.